With the happy and successful marriage of Draupadi to the five brothers, it would be natural to turn a few pages forward and just see how the family evolves. But I thought we could pause here a little bit longer, because at this stage, we see, really for the first time, the full extent of Duryodhana's hatred and of his brothers, and of course Shakuni, to the Pandavas, and the blind king's sympathy or collusion with this attitude of his. If you remember, the brothers, with Kunti the mother, had been asked to go to Varavata, the northern provincial town, by the blind king, really to get them out of the way. They'd gone up there, and Duryodhana colluded with the minister, Purochana, to build this special house for them, and it was made of materials that would burn. The idea was to actually have them in there and burn them to death. They'd got away thanks to Vidura, and they'd been on the run until the wedding, and now the wedding had taken place. And of course, as you can imagine, Duryodhana was pretty depressed, and his brothers were, at the failure of their plan. Dushasana, the second brother, tried to cheer Duryodhana up by saying, well, it was fate, and what they'd managed to do, or they thought they'd managed to do, was to put the blame fairly and squarely on Purochana for this terrible climb. Because the actual townsfolk, the country folk, the finger was being pointed to Dhritarashtra and to Duryodhana as to being the root cause for it. But when the news came to the old blind king himself, he got it a bit mixed up. He thought, in actual fact, when he was told of the good news of the wedding, that in effect Duryodhana had been chosen by Draupadi, and that he immediately gave instructions saying how wonderful it was that special jewellery should be made for, and so forth, until in fact Vidura came and pointed out he got the wrong person. Draupadi had actually married the Pandava brothers. Even so, he stuck to his guns and saying how wonderful it was that they were still alive. But pretty quickly, Duryodhana got a meeting with his father, with Karna and Shakuni and Dushasana, and he pointed out to his father that this was a real serious situation, and very soon they'd be taken over, and the power from them would be completely taken by the Pandavas, and they should act quickly to deal with it. And the wily king said, in actual fact, he had the same sort of concerns as his sons, but he couldn't speak in front of Vidura. They couldn't talk about it together if Vidura were there. And he asked Duryodhana, he said, well, what do you, Duryodhana and Karna, what would you suggest we could do? And then Duryodhana came up with a whole bunch of things that they could try. The sort of things he said were, oh, we could get dissension in the family, we could get Brahmins to stir up problems, to alienate the twins against the other brothers. Or we could bribe King Drupada so that actually he will give up his friendship and alliance with Yudhishthira. Or we could persuade the Pandavas to stay with the Panchalas and generally alienate the friendships that they have. And then he said we could cause problems between Draupadi and her husbands. He even suggested getting young prostitutes to cause problems in that way. Or they could actually ambush Bhima, as he was the strongest. Duryodhana felt that when he was dead, then the whole pack of strength of the Pandavas would go, because without Bhima guarding his back, then in fact he was hardly a quarter of the strength of Karna in battle. And then Duryodhana ended by saying that we have to do something now. And he said, he turned to Karna and said, well, what do you think, Karna? Am I right? Well, you know, I think we often think upon Karna as a bit of a yes man. In his debt to Duryodhana for having elevated him and giving him the position he had, he'd really do anything to please him. But in the cases like this, we see the nobility of Karna coming to the fore. And he said, no, not at all. This is totally the wrong way of doing it. What we need to do is fight them in battle now, particularly so when the Panchalas won't be ready for it, and no will anyone else as far as the Kauravas are concerned. So if you like, we can get them on the back foot before they can take advantages of the alliances they have with Krishna and with King Drupada. Well, this was getting a bit too much for the old king. So what he said was, well, we can't do anything really without discussing it with the elders. So he dismissed them, and that was that. And when they met the next day, the whole lot of them, it was the old grandfather Bhishma who took the lead. He immediately said this was a terrible thing to contemplate, and that he had always considered the Pandavas and the Duryodhana and his brothers as the same. They were all sons to them. And after the terrible burning of the House of Lac, he said, I can't look anybody in the eye for the terrible things that were contemplated against the brothers and against their mother Kunti. It was quite a long chat, but in fact he ended by saying that they should have half the kingdom, and he pointed out in quite detail it legally was right they should have the whole lot, in fact half should be given to them. And he said quite categorically, and he pointed at Dhritarashtra and said, for this terrible crime that's been committed, people aren't blaming Puruchana, they're blaming you. And then Drona got up and he entirely agreed with Bhishma. You know, with Drona, so often comes over as rather like a shadow to Bhishma. Bhishma was the kingmaker. Through Bhishma, the Kurus had really become the top dogs amongst all the nations. And so invariably when Bhishma says something, they were older generation, of course, Drona and Bhishma, Drona would say, yes, I agree. But in this case, it's a bit different. You know, Drona, he was a great warrior, but he was a Brahmin, so he had status for the top table amongst the chief of the advisors, but also his pedigree was great. He came from a very high line of Brahmins, so he had status, but seldom does he come to the fore with it, because, and he, as I say, it was felt that he was somewhat in the shadow of Bhishma. But on this occasion, it's quite remarkable, really, how astute his political approach was to what should happen. He said, what you should do was to give half the share of the kingdom to the Pandavas, and then send someone who's a good talker, had a silver tongue, a good negotiator, with piles of silver and gold riches and all sorts of other things of that nature, not only for the Pandavas, but for King Drupada himself. And then the person should speak at great length on the enormous good fortune that there was now an alliance of this nature between the Pandavas and the Panchalas and the Kauravas. And say also how Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, how very pleased they were, and say it over and over again in front of Drupada and in front of Dhrishtadyumna, and say it again and really lay it on thick as to what a great thing it was to have this alliance between the Panchalas, the Kauravas, and of course the Pandavas. And the person should flatter all the brothers, all the Pandava brothers and Kunti, and bring all sorts of special jewellery and flatter again Draupadi. And once they'd got past that situation, then he should turn to the fact that now it would be a fine time for the Pandavas to return to the city of the elephant, to their homeland of Hastinapura. And once they were returning, then a large army should go out from Hastinapura under Dushasana and Vikarna. Vikarna was one of the senior brothers of Duryodhana. In fact, he's the only one who was against the dicing. Should go out and escort them back into the city. And in the city, then he, Dhritarashtra, should honour them. And this would be the way to dealing with it in a very smooth situation. And then they should be offered half the kingdom. Well, at this, Karna could see that things were badly swinging against his idea, so he immediately got up and tried to cast aspersions upon the veracity and the loyalty of these old men in giving advice to Dhritarashtra. But Vidura had been there, and he'd been silent all the time. He'd been watching very carefully and taking in, as a negotiator, how the swing was going in the advice that Dhritarashtra was getting and how that this was causing uncertainty in his mind. So he got up. He pointed out that Bhishma had spoken in Dhritarashtra's advantage, but this advice hadn't been accepted, and also Drona had done the same thing, but Karna didn't believe what Drona said. And he pointed out that when I think about it, I can't think of any of your advisors that have given you such friendly and such wise advice as these two. They are learned, they are wise, they're not prejudiced in any way against you or the Pandavas. They have never given you any bad advice, and they've never said anything against you. And he said, just as Duryodhana and his brothers are your sons, so are the Pandavas. He pointed out that the Pandavas would never be defeated. They had Balarama, they had Krishna, they had Rizni, Satyaki, and of course the Panchala alliance with them now. He said, by taking Drona's advice, the vile suspicions that now lie on you for this burning of the House of Lac will be washed away if you act in the right way and give half the kingdom to the Pandavas. He emphasized the evilness of Duryodhana, and he pointed out that a long time ago he'd said that the whole of the Kuru lands and their nation will perish because of Duryodhana. He said how that Dhritarashtra shouldn't follow the evil advice of Duryodhana, Karna and Shakuni, and that only an idiot would go to war where there's a situation that could be resolved by negotiation and conciliation. And interestingly enough, he pointed out that in the past, the great king Drupada had been feuding with them. But now the alliance with him would strengthen both of them, both the Panchalas and the Kurus. Again, he emphasized how the Yadavas, the Vrisri, Krishna's people, were very numerous. They were a large nation. And wherever Krishna was, there was victory. Well, if you have been, thanks very much for listening.